Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast brought to you by Red Army Bet, a betting site with a difference. Not only are we offering the best available odds on a United win, we've also got exclusive special bets created by Reds. And as we share half our net profits with the United supporters community, no matter what, the fans can always end up winning. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app, Red Army Bet. About fans, by fans, for fans.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten, and I'm in a pretty dreary looking Brighton. When this fixture was came out in June, I thought Brighton, which quickly became Brighton on a Sunday afternoon in August, I thought it's got potential to be brilliant. As we know from last season, Brighton away can be anything but brilliant. But I got here very, very early. The game kicks off at 4 and I was in Brighton at 9:30. And went straight to Weatherspoon's for one of their breakfasts. It was full of United fans from all over the place. Great to see. Just had a really good chat with some of the Cockney Reds, old firm Cockney Reds who've been going for years and years. And it's just, you know, no matter what happens today, I'm glad that I've seen them lads, and that really strong community exists watching Manchester United. And you're laughing about times gone by and talking about people who maybe passed away or no longer go, and there's a real bedrock of really good football support for Manchester United. And as I was walking down towards the Weatherspoons where I am now, bumped into a group of lads, some of them have been on the podcast before, and they've flown in from Ireland this morning. And because Brighton's so convenient for Gatwick Airport, you can basically do it in and out from a day. Where are you from? What's your name?
Yeah, John Finnegan's my name, Finno. Most of the lads call me, and I'm from Wicklow Town in Ireland.
And we spoke to you at the end of, start of February, Palace away, outside the turnstiles, didn't we?
Yeah, that's it, yes. Similar type of a trip for us via Gatwick, and a relatively short train journey, so it's a good trip to come over for once you can get started for a ticket.
What time did you wake up this morning?
Yeah, so I got up at 4:30 and left the house at 10 to 5, and then I was in Dublin Airport, parked the car 10 to 6, and I was over in the terminal 6:05 for a 7 o'clock flight. So have it fairly sorted now in terms of the timing of it. So bar accidents on the road or anything like that. So
your timings sound almost exactly the same as mine this morning. It was up at 4 a.m. UK time, but yeah, straight in, very little margin. And you go back tonight?
Back tonight, yeah.
What time?
The flight's at 5 to 11. So, we're with Aer Lingus today. Mainly do Ryanair. This just happened to be a better time and price probably as well.
How much have you paid today? I paid £242. That's probably the most I've paid.
Yeah.
Even though I was in Manchester all of last week. It's just August is a busy and expensive time to fly.
Yeah, this trip, it was one of the more expensive ones now from my point of view. So it was €80, right. €81 return. Sunday flights,
that sounds really cheap.
It's cheap, but I mean, like, I managed to get the Burnley game booked via Liverpool for €28 to Liverpool, and I have the trains via Manchester Victoria booked for less than €20. So I'm going to get from Dublin to Burnley for less than €50. which I think is quite good. One of my better ones.
Some of the lads with you, they got up even earlier today.
Yeah, we've lads here with me from Limerick. He's up at 1 o'clock to get the bus up to Dublin Airport, because he's sometimes there are options for them to fly from Cork or Shannon, but very often they might have to go via Dublin. So that means for them, for that early morning flight, it means getting the bus up literally overnight. So
just weighing up, you mentioned Cork. I've never been to Cork. Weighing up whether to go next month for the Liam Miller game. It's sold out. Incredible crowd. 45,000 tickets at the new Gaelic football stadium there.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I suppose the other amazing part of that is, I suppose, which shows the level of support that people want to give for the occasion, is that it's a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You know, which, like, it's still a working day in Ireland, and so that considering that quite a lot of the crowd would probably be travelling to it. You know, obviously a good proportion of it will be local Cork people, but there'll be a good crew travelling from all over Ireland, but both from the United, let's say, perspective, but also from support for, you know, the Cork, the Ireland connection there for Liam Miller. So it's amazing, really, like, that, you know, usually these things are run at the weekend, but
why is it 3 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon?
I think maybe just with other events on, and, you know, the international
break. Why not 7:30 at night? Are there no floodlights there?
Personally, I don't know for definite. No, it's probably to do with the fact that they want to tie in a function after it, you know, right, a dinner and that kind of thing with the players, you know, with the ex-players and all. So I'd say they want to have that in the evening time, so obviously they can have the game and then move on to something at 7:30 or whatever. And probably, I'm sure they've sold tickets for the charity, and I'd say that was part of what they were
and
thinking.
And all the money's going to Liam's family and local charities.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know it sounds like it's going to be a great occasion. Like St. Irla, I haven't quite committed to going down to, because I probably would look and see what way the League Cup drives that week.
United could be playing that night.
The Tuesday. If we're playing on the Wednesday, we'll see. I'll probably be, although the tickets are sold out, you know, I'm sure we'll be able to sort of pick up a ticket, because some people may have just bought it to support the cause, and then, you know, so hopefully if it did decide to go down, you know, that wouldn't be a problem.
Did you come to Brighton last season?
Yeah, it was here in May.
Is that your least forgettable Manchester United game, or in a top five of least forgettable games?
Absolutely. I was just saying to you that the lovely stadium and a lovely, you know, it was a lovely venue, and that day actually was a really nice day. It was a bank holiday weekend over here, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was all set for a Friday night occasion, but the game was totally forgettable. It was in keeping with the way the season ended, I think, for us. You know, it was a nothing performance, really, and the fact that we lost, probably, I think most fans went out that night. Normally you're kind of upset if you've been beaten, but it was sort of a feeling of, you know, so what, you know, it's not made any real difference to the end game in the league.
No way would anyone stand for a repeat of that today. No chance.
No,
and it's just got to be miles better.
Yeah, and I suppose based on last week, we don't know, obviously, the team. Some players will be a little bit fitter and that, so you'd like to think there'll be a little bit more buoyancy about the performance. But
I'm pretty optimistic. I got told that Brighton were not great at Watford last week by a Watford fan, and you've got to win these type of games. You just have to.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and whatever chance we have or hope we have of you know, staying involved in the title race, like, you're right, this is a game. I mean, you don't want to lose ground early on. Some teams are going to make quick starts, and although I know last week, you know, it was good to win the game, but there was some good signs, but there were also some signs that, you know, we're certainly not quite there in terms of where everybody thinks we should be. But maybe that's something that we might see a little bit more from the players today. I hope so, but a lot of it's down to the you know, the manager's instructions, I suppose. You know, whether we like it or not, it's down to the way he wants the team to play in these games.
We'll have loads of post-match reaction on this podcast. And you mentioned the manager the last few days. He's done a flurry of interviews with a very positive message. And that contrasts sharply with what he was saying while the transfer window was open. And I think it's... I don't think there would have been any harm in him speaking during the tour, and I said that on these podcasts, but I'm pleased he's come out fighting and having a bit of a dig at City and talking up the positives and accentuating them, because there are many at Manchester United at the moment, and if the manager appears moody and defeatist, I don't think it helps anybody. So he's come out now and he's talking a good story now, which is what you want from Manchester United manager. If you lose your first 10 games, then maybe adopt a more negative tone, but one game into the season, having won it, go for the positives.
Yeah, and as you said, I don't care what anyone says, but that has to transmit to the players. You know,
of course it does.
If he's been a bit more positive, the players are going to get a lift from that. And I think, as you said, regardless of whether we strengthened enough, most people will be of probably the correct view that we didn't strengthen enough in terms of what we need to do to bridge the gap. But we still have a good squad and we've got good players. If we can just get them playing, that's my view.
And Pogba, that issue has not gone away, and Mourinho has come out and said absolutely no problems. I'm slightly circumspect when I see that, because their relationship could have been far better this year. I'd love them to work it out. I'd love them, and it helps both of them if they've got a good relationship, because he's on his way to becoming the most important player at the club, and if he can get on with the manager. And I don't buy the line that they're dead and buried either. I just think they've had issues, and hopefully they can work them out. But it surprises me sometimes, the reaction from United fans, how many of them believe what they want to believe when he comes out and says there's absolutely no problems whatsoever, everything's perfect. And journalists who've written the stories, with good sources as well, being told, you're lying, you're making things up. And sometimes, and I'm a journalist myself, I see fans, if you write something they agree with, you're the best journalist in the world, and if you write something they disagree with, you're the worst journalist in the world and know nothing. And I think as a journalist, your job is to tell the truth, and sometimes fans want a version of the truth, even if it's not the truth.
Yeah, and I mean, where Pogba's concerned, look, I'm a big fan of him. You know, I'm not trying to disregard all of the stuff that goes on around him, just purely in terms of his football ability and what he brings to the team. But and like what we saw last Friday was a great boost. Like I had a little bit of a boost going in when I heard he was playing, and the fact he was captain, that, I think, gave everybody a little
captain,
bit of a lift.
Penalty bang.
Yeah,
it lifted everybody.
Yeah, absolutely,
and it was needed.
It was, and needed, as you say, for everybody. And look, there is a little bit of a sideshow going on, and some of it might be agent related, and some of it could be whereby, you know, somebody's touting for a bit of extra money and all that kind of stuff. That's possibly
this
going
Barcelona
on.
This Barcelona link,
you know.
I mean, I'm probably go to 20-25 Barcelona games a season. I've got very good contacts there. I've had them for a long time. I cannot find even a cent of a Pogba trail.
Yeah.
I can't find anybody. So I'm not saying it's never going to happen. And if you pull Pogba, the idea of playing with Messi in Camp Nou would certainly hold appeal, but there's no side briefings going on that we're going to go for Pogba in January, and I'm not sure Barca could even afford it.
No.
Because they've got... I spoke to very, very good people there 6 months ago, and they said, we need to trim our wage bill down.
Yeah. So, yeah, and look, all we need to do, where Pogba's concerned, is just... it's almost like a game to game. Hope that when he goes out, he's consistent. I think that's the one thing that he's missing from it, is consistency.
Yeah.
And if he can, you know, that old saying, if he does a 7 or 8 out of 10, you know, I think we'd be in a lot better place. And hopefully that whatever's going on to the side, he can just forget about it when he plays. I mean, once this, I don't believe he's not going to go anywhere like before the end of the European transfer window or whenever it is. So like, really, all he should do is between now is concentrate on his football. Certainly between now and Joe, I don't believe he's going to go anyway.
I know United won't sell him.
No.
I said this in April. I said they will not sell Martial.
Yeah.
And people say no, he's going to Juventus, or this Italian journalist said he's doing this and that, and you're wrong. I said they will not sell him.
Mm.
And I'm not saying Martial is going to stay at Manchester United forever, but just as it's difficult for United to prize players away from other clubs, it's very difficult for clubs to get players out of Manchester United unless they really, really push and want to go.
Yeah, and obviously there's financial, you know, considerations there as well. United are big players, good players as well, but it's playing for the club as well. You like to think that that still holds, you know, a good bit of sway where a player's concerned, but players want to play. I just think that the challenge, and Pogba would be a big part of this from the manager's point of view, I think one of his challenges is to get players playing, get a system that suits the players we have, you know, your Sanchez and people like that. We're obviously not seeing the best of them, and there's probably one or two others as well, even Rashford and Martial, if he does come back in. We need to get the best out of them in some sort of a system that works for what the manager wants to do and for what the players want to achieve. Because players want to play well, don't they? They want to be seen as the players in form. So it's in everybody's interest that they do. So hopefully, I don't know about today, because I mean it depends what way Brighton set up and what their ambitions are for the game today. Like, and are they going to maybe just be a little bit, you know, cautious and set up maybe to sort of not lose to Manchester United today, rather than go out and try and beat them? And you know, for us, maybe, you know, we have to respond to that, like, and so. But definitely, it's, as you said earlier, it's a game I think we really, really could do with getting the 3 points just to keep that going.
Thank you for your time.
Cheers, Andy. Thanks.
Walking through the lanes, which is a beautiful part of Brighton. It's probably my fourth visit to Brighton, and I've never been to the lanes before. It's some tight knit shopping areas with nice smart shops and lots of old traditional pubs. I'm with Lars Morten, who is from United Scandinavian Supporters Club, and he's been travelling to United games since 77. Tell us about your journey to Brighton, Lars.
This one?
Yeah.
I came here last night.
I mean, you can tell me about Brighton in the FA Cup final in 83 if you want, but let's stick to this one for now.
Yeah.
The wind coming in off the city.
It is a strong wind. Came here last night, staying in the Brighton Hotel, original name, and flying back tomorrow.
How are you feeling about United this season, and how many games would you try and get to from Norway this season? Let's stand in the shelter here.
I usually try to get around 10 games, but the flight tickets, for some reason, are much more expensive this season, so I don't know how many I'll manage.
And you've been averaging 10 games a season for how long?
Late 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
And before that, it was more difficult to come before the budget airlines.
Exactly.
The first time I remember a budget airline was a pre-season to Milan in 96, and we got the first ever EasyJet plane, and one of my mates stood up and said, "This is just an airline for peasants which will never take off. I'm never coming with them again." He's called Rob Pattinson, and he may or not be responsible for doing the subscriptions to United We Stand, and he's done a fantastic job doing the subscriptions for a long time. But yeah, he said he was never going on EasyJet again, and he doubted the future success of that company, which has been one of the most successful British companies of the last 20 years. More successful in recent years than Manchester United. How are you feeling about the team?
I don't think we'll win the league, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong, but we need some good results now. Need a win today, and need a win against Tottenham. And if we can get that, we'll have a good start and take it from there.
Is Mourinho the right man?
Yeah, I think so.
Why?
Because he's a winner. He's a proven winner. And I can't really see any other options now.
I didn't expect Brighton in August to be like this. It's windy, it's overcast, it's not really the nicest day. When you first started coming to England, you took the ferry, didn't you?
Yeah.
The flights were so prohibitively expensive. Let's just get further into this doorway to avoid the wind, because it picks up on the podcast. What was your first journey like to England? How old were you?
I was 16.
Right.
Me and a friend, and we took a 24-hour ferry from Gothenburg to Felixstowe.
So you went from Norway to Gothenburg, then to Felixstowe, and then from Felixstowe to where, Manchester?
To London.
Who were United playing?
Tottenham away.
Did you have a ticket? Was it paying?
We just paid at the door. Right. Didn't have a ticket in before we got there.
Was it dangerous? Because there was problems around that time, wasn't there?
It was some trouble, but we didn't know that.
Did you start it?
No, we were watching.
Right, but you didn't get in any trouble yourself? Because no. I remember you telling me once that some guys had come up to you, young Norwegian lad, it might not have been at that game, and basically wanted to fight with you.
Yeah, that's it. It happened a couple of times. It happened outside White Hart Lane that day too.
How did you know you were United?
Because I had a United scarf.
And they come up to you?
Yeah.
Cockney men?
Yeah.
And said, what?
We're going to kill you, right. They said. And all of a sudden it was, you know, at first there were three or four, and then suddenly it was about 40.
Against two young teenage Norwegians?
Yeah.
So what did you do?
Fortunately, a copper saw them.
Right.
So we were saved that day.
Must have been a rude awakening.
Yeah, it was quite...
So I'm going to walk down now towards the pier, meet some other Manchester United fans. It started raining here. Good old Brighton by the sea. Good old Sussex by the sea, this thing. It's not quite so great today. But the result of the game will determine whether this trip's a success or not. The game is finished. Brighton 3, Manchester United 2. It was absolutely crap. It was woeful. It was dreadful. The defence was awful in the first half. And I don't even know why there's a hint of humour in my voice. It's probably because I just got a message off Steve Armstrong, who was supposed to do the podcast after the game from the Monkey Bus. And he said he's run out of battery and it's probably a good thing. But I think it's a bad thing because I wanted to get the opinions of the ladies and gentlemen on the Monkey Bus, but instead you've got me and James Scowcroft. James, he does know what he's on about. He's played 300 top flight games, which is 300 more than I played, and he's also a UEFA A licensed coach and a Manchester United fan. He was in the away end. James, that was shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, very poor, Andy. I think there's been some poor performances over the last two or three years, but I can't think of many that were worse than that today. There's not many games that I've been to. I see Man United where at half time you just knew the game was dead and over.
You were in the away end, I was working. What was it like in the away end? I saw it empty way before the end of the match.
But it's very, very good until Brighton scored the second. You know, I think just people.
Which was 2 minutes after the first.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then once that went in, there's a lot of pissed off people. A lot of people that I think. The feeling was people's fears that this could be a long, hard season came to reality today halfway through that first half.
Because we needed to get a win against Leicester and we got that win and it really lifted the mood after a pretty complicated pre-season. But was that a sense of a dose of reality today that this team isn't good enough to win the league?
I think so. I think you've hit the nail on the head, mate. I don't think this team's anywhere near good enough to win the league. And that's not because other teams are so much. I just don't think it's got the quality. I see a team of individuals. I don't really see partnerships. I don't see connections throughout the team. For example, if you look at Tottenham, I think Harry Kane's a good player, but he has a wonderful connection with Eriksen in midfield. I just do not see any of those partnerships in the Man United team.
But there are a lot of good players in that team.
There are, but there are also a lot of...
Should they not be forming connections? They've played together for good periods of time. I mean, losing Sanchez was a blow, if he is injured.
Yeah, Sanchez is a strange one because I saw him play for Arsenal a few times. I thought he was a very, very good player and an excellent signing, but it just hasn't happened for him. So that tells you that there are problems. There are problems at Manchester United. I actually think United struggles with width, but you can't really say that today because we had two natural fullbacks in positions. I just think the problems are deep-rooted. I disagree. I don't think the Manchester United carry a lot of players who aren't top class.
David De Gea, Paul Pogba, Romelu Lukaku, Jesse Lingard's very promising, Nemanja Matic. The top players, James? Antonio Valencia.
Right, that's five or six. You need 14, 15.
So do you think the players outside of the top ones are nowhere near good enough?
Yeah. you know, look at the back four. You know, Ashley Young's had a fantastic career. He's been a brilliant player for Manchester United. Is he a Premier League winning fullback now? I think that's changed now. I think it's, you know, they've always been good on the ball, have always been attacking players, but you've now got to be an athlete as well to go with that technicality that you have on the ball. And I don't see that with either of our fullbacks, that they've got the physicality to go up and down and almost play left back, right back, right midfield, left midfield, and join in attack as well. I just don't think they've got it in them.
I watched Kyle Walker last week for Manchester City. He was brilliant.
Say no more.
He was brilliant.
So you go back to the days of Gary Neville, and Gary Neville was one of the greatest right backs to have seen. You know, would Gary Neville fit in today's modern day with the physicality? Maybe. Maybe he'd have players around him that could do that, but the profile of the player is changing.
You mentioned Gary. One thing that he had was a determination and a drive which made him become a top player and a very successful player. And when I looked at Manchester United today, when they went 2 goals down, I thought, where is the drive to get this team back? And it has been there. I watched a rerun of the April Derby on that video documentary that City have done. And it was there. And when United went down, well, we were sat together at Palace earlier on this year. It was so bad in the first half and so good as in the second half. But there was none of that today, was there? There was very little of it. I think there was a shot from Pogba after 75 minutes. And we should give Brighton some credit as well.
Yeah, fair play to Brighton. I thought they took the goals very well. They had that little spell where they seized the moment as well. I think there is a little bit of lack of belief at the moment in Manchester United, and that comes from the supporters, it comes from the club, and it comes from the players as well, that, you know, maybe they know that they're not the best team in the league.
The manager has done a few interviews in recent days where he's cut a happier picture and talked much more positively than he has done. I spoke to him before the game today and I watched him afterwards, and he said that he'd been too open when discussing players and tactics in the past, and you sense that he's got a beef with certainly the London element of the media, but he doesn't look happy. Maybe that's because his team's been beaten, and there couldn't be anything worse if he sat there beaming and smiling. But does he strike you as someone who is enjoying his job or someone who is down and frustrated with it?
Well, he's a manager that's used to winning things, and I think he knows deep down that he's not going to win a lot with the current United side. Is that all down to him? I think some of it is. Don't think it all is, but you know, look, he's been at good clubs before. He's won titles, and I think he's a manager that knows that, you know, what he's got to work with isn't good enough.
So where do United go from here? Because it's a big season. We've got the European draw coming up. Manchester United could draw Barcelona. Could get absolutely mullered, but no Mourinho, he'll set a team up and get a 0-0 draw away from home and then, well, lose at Old Trafford.
Well, you know, the biggest thing about the manager, he's been criticised for his style of football. I actually don't think there's anything wrong with his style of football. You know, defending deep and catching teams on the counter-attack is one of the most exciting ways to play football. But I don't think United have got the players to play on the counter-attack. I don't think they've got the skill and the pace combined to do it. I don't see it with the team today. I can name some wonderful Man United goals where they've defended deep. A prime example was the Emirates-Arsenal in the Champions League semi-final, where everyone's back, they're defending a set piece and then they spring it first, passing to Gisampa and Ronaldo and Rooney. Yeah, it's a wonderful way to play football, but I don't think he's got the players to do that.
It's depressing, James, because a lot of money has been spent. I think only City have spent more than United in the last couple of years. And Mourinho would argue, well, I finished second in the league. I didn't finish seventh like some of my detractors will tell you. And City might not be as successful as last year, and Manchester United might be better than they were last year, but that defeat today, it just sends out a real bad message, doesn't it? It's like back to last season, when it's baffling that the team could go to Arsenal and win, go to Manchester City and win, beat Liverpool, beat Chelsea, and then lose to the three promoted teams. Why is that happening?
I think it's a different game when you play teams that are promoted and you play teams in the top five or six. It's a different way. It's a different game totally. I just don't think United have got the finesse, the control, the quick feet, the speed, the balance in the final third that you need to break teams down like Brighton, and you're always going to be susceptible for that killer touch that's going to undo you, really. I don't think United can really come back at teams like they once could. You know, before we got in the car, Andy, I said to you, tell me United's best 11. You know, because I don't think the manager knows it. I couldn't tell you what it is, and I think there's 3,000 travelling fans today that not many of them would get the same team.
Thank you for your time as we drive away from Brighton. The sun's come out right at the end of the day in good old Sussex by the sea.
Right, I tried my hardest to get out of this, but Andy was having none of it. So it's about 10:15. We're at some services on the M6 toll road, and he's been bitching on at me to get some post-match. So even though I've tried to dodge it, I just can't. So here they am. So anyway, this lot have had about 5 hours to try and digest what's just gone on at Brighton, where United got absolutely spanked 3-1, Rick.
Fucking podcast.
Late night podcast, yes. After dark. So you can say what you want.
About what? About the game? Are you still on about the game?
Well, I didn't do one. I was trying to get out. I came up with some bullshit excuse. I said my phone wasn't charged, and he just said, well, charge your phone and then do it later. So here we are. So there you go.
Your attitude wasn't right, like our.
No, I wasn't right.
The rest of our team's attitude wasn't right.
Exactly,
no, it was shit, wasn't it? Let's be absolutely honest about it. We're fucking miles behind, right across the team. I think, you know, obviously the manager's got to take some blame, but it's not just his fault, I don't think, today. I think the team is just poor, but the quality of players aren't there, are they? It's a fucking sad state of affairs when Smalling and Jones are still your two best centre-halves at the club, because the two out there today are nowhere near United standard.
But that team should have still beat Brighton.
Of course they should, yeah. I mean, fucking Glenn Murray shouldn't be causing anybody any trouble, should they? But fucking run rings around us, don't
he? I won't keep you for too long because it's late, but where do you get the sense that things are just starting to turn against him a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, the press want it to go against him, don't they? So as soon as you lose a game, it's all going to be piling on and that. But I think, to be honest, I think the Tottenham game's a big game now on that Monday night, because I think, regardless of the result, they've got to put a performance in, haven't they? Because today, I'm not saying he's lost the dressing room, but that sort of performance, that's what people will say. And if you have a couple more performances...
It's hard to argue that he hasn't, isn't it?
If you have a couple more performances, that's what people will say. So they need to start. But the thing is they're not playing for... To me, they don't need to play for the manager. They need to play for the fucking club. And they didn't today. It was shite today.
Yeah. Full bus for the first game of the season and a double one at that.
It was a very full bus, yeah. Yeah, with an upstairs, yeah.
And make this your is it your 14th or your 15th season?
Stewarding 14th, yeah. Maybe my last, you never know.
It's in a bit. Alan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate.
That was hard work, that, wasn't it?
Shit, wasn't it? I mean, I think it's all summed up by a text I got from my dad about 10 minutes ago, isn't it? Oh, where are you at Birmingham? How shit was that?
I think, to be fair, I think we've all had texts like that off our dads at some point.
But yeah, honestly, to be honest, I just don't really, or just don't like him. I don't want to put it down or anything, but like,
you're giving up on him now.
I gave up on him a long time ago, honestly.
So
I just think it never fit. It never fit. There was never a match with United and Mourinho. Like, there's a history. United, it's attractive attacking football, and surely the board at United knew that Mourinho, that's not what he's about. Do you know what I mean? It's just
thing is, though, and I asked this question about everybody who has a pop at Mourinho. Who do you replace him with if that is the case?
Exactly. I think Zidane's free, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But I know, but it's just. That's just easy to say, but I don't know, to be honest with you. I was, as much as anyone, Mourinho came, I was on the bandwagon with everyone. I was buzzing and thinking, right, we finally got him, big manager, and it doesn't seem to have happened, but...
Oh, well, we've got another 3 hours of getting absolutely smashed on the way back now, haven't we? That's the important bit. Right, who else have I not spoken to here? I'm not talking to him, not a chance. Did you manage to get anything out of them services?
We just got a fridge magnet.
A fridge
magnet? Yeah, for your mum. Whenever I go away, my mum says, like, get me a fridge magnet. So,
you didn't pay for it, did you?
Well, yeah, I was going to, like, I was half tempted, but John walked in there.
You were eyeing up some tools when we saw you.
Yeah.
If you'd have got that big socket set out of that service, what would you have done with it?
Make the shoes there, make the shoes and that all. But John, like, he went in there.
Do you mean anonymous? You mean Mr. X?
Yes, Mr. X.
Yeah. Was he an accomplice?
We tried to slide it in the paper, but the paper was fucking 375.
We put it in the paper, but the paper was doing the magnets.
375, wasn't it? Fucking God, you know.
The world's worst shop. We obviously don't condone this sort of stuff. Speaking of stuff we don't condone, how gas was that?
Fucking wank, mate, wasn't it?
Are you glad that you decided at 2:45 this morning you were going to come today?
Well, it was about 10 o'clock and I thought, I'll just go home tonight now, I'll get my head down. Then before I know it, it was 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, balls for that. I had
to pretty much run out. I got ready in about 5 minutes, run outside the house before the Mr. Kutima. Yeah. Come here. And yeah, good kit. To be fair, we got off when it was 0-0. So as far as I've seen us win 1-0 today.
On a scale.
Last minute penalty.
If you compare how you felt today versus how I felt after me and you went to that madness concert and then I went to Villa.
Very, very. At least you saw a fucking win at the end of it. No. The worst thing is now I feel better than I've done for about 3 days now, worryingly.
Yeah, but, well, that's about it. Right. Who else can I get? Let's have a look. Vinny.
How are you doing, pal? You alright?
Mate, how are you?
Well, could be better, as always.
The game was 5 hours ago. Have you not got over it yet?
No, it's etched in my memory, that, to be honest.
So what went wrong? Come on.
Well, apart from
football chat, we've done shoplifting.
We've done shoplifting. Yeah, got a couple of whispers for nothing, like, you know.
Apparently, Ian here, he's nicked that many fridge magnets from service stations. he's actually now going to have to nick his mama fridge to put them on.
And a freezer.
Yeah, fucking fridge freezer.
Absolute garbage that today.
Are we blaming players or manager?
I don't like to put the blame at anyone's doorstep, but it's a bit of both, to be honest.
Right. So, for someone who doesn't like to put the blame anywhere, you just put it in two places. That takes some doing.
Yeah, I'm a greedy bastard, though, aren't I?
Yeah, of course you fucking are. Oh, the manager's copping for it. Anyway, let's go and deal with the real big issue of the day. What are them? I've not seen them toffees for ages. Don't like them. I've managed to get something far, far better than them.
You don't like suppositories.
Anyway, the big question of today was if they were all still alive, in what order would we burn the travelling Wilburys? That's been. So, did we settle? Did we answer it?
Started with Roy Orbison because he wouldn't.
He'd be
pointless saving him to see the other suffer because he's blind. So
he's anyway. Already dead, though, isn't he?
I'm sure he was.
I don't think he was.
He's already dead.
No, if they were alive, did you not get the bit about them?
Oh, they've got to be alive.
Well, no, if they were, it was hypothetical. In fact, the whole thing was, to be fair. But
Tom Petty, he'd be the first one.
First for you, yeah.
He'd have fucking petrol all over him.
Yeah. Who would you say then? No, let's do first and last.
Last.
Who got last?
The shit beetle.
That doesn't.
Who did the Hare Krishna song? Is that him?
Yeah.
George Harrison.
That's the shit beetle, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, I have an opinion on.
They're all shit, really, weren't they?
Yeah. I'd have kept the yellow fella, me.
You like him?
Yeah, he's alright. Yeah, I kept him. I still burn him, but I kept him till last. Game, it wasn't great, was it?
What score was it?
I've
no fucking idea.
I had to. Do you know? Someone just reminded me. It was actually 3-2, not 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got beat 3-2.
You're having Chinese at that time,
aren't you? Yeah, I just want to give Brighton's away end credit for. Selling Chinese during the second half. The lager was shite, but I did find a bar at Salt Cider.
Is that the worst pint you've ever had inside a football ground?
A pint of lager, yeah.
Before the ground?
It was fucking awful, yeah. I said to the barmaid, I went, it's dead, that. And she said it was in a coma when I give it you. And then it went downhill from there, really. Shit ale, and we was fucking wanking.
Shit ale, shit performance,
yeah.
Shit everything.
Absolutely, Bobbins, yeah.
Until we got back on the bus.
Yeah, and it's all been all right since then. I just want to say, I've had Vladimir Klitschko ringing me up as well.
He rang you at 2:30 in the morning the other day, didn't he?
He did ring me after offering me tickets for his comeback fight against Dylan White. But... Because I didn't ring him back, he's rang me twice tonight.
He's rang you more than twice.
Has he?
Yeah, about five times he's rang you tonight.
Yeah. Well,
have we got these tickets?
Well, I've sorted it out. He said
ringside,
but at the bar near ringside. So he's got us 10, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can run a bus for that, or maybe, bro. Even a little one or something.
Yeah.
He said it's at Wembley.
Yeah. Is this legit?
Apparently, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's quite an aggressive air sales campaign.
He's
given you first dibs four times.
Right, exactly, yeah. So fair play to him, you know what I mean?
Who is it? Dylan White is fighting.
Ned, you're a bit of a connoisseur of these things. The beer in the ground.
The what?
The beer in the ground.
The worst pint I've ever had in my life.
How many did you have?
I said, only two. No, I genuinely only had two of them. Then we went and got the Heineken from the other side, because it was vinegar and just
turfs.
The worst thing ever, yeah. But in classic Southern style, they'll still charge you £4.60 for it.
Yeah.
I fucking hate everything north of north of Whitefield. South of Whitefield.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Go on, what? It's going well, this.
I've got to set this torpedo out. Yeah, once I found the cider bar, things went all right.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad.
I've got a tampon in you.
Are these sweets?
Yeah, do you want one?
Matt, he talked to me on a game.
It was awful, wasn't it? It's been coming. I don't really know why anyone's surprised, because it's been coming. It's only fucking first away game. Well, yeah, exactly. But look at the away games last season. We've not improved.
It's coming since last season.
Yeah. But we've not improved the team over the summer, so why would it be any different now?
Spent 56 million on fucking Fred.
Fucking hell, yeah.
He's, how much were
you, you know, I ain't going to judge him on two games.
Fucking Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I ain't going to judge him on two games, but the name doesn't inspire you. And he's not been good so far. But do you know what I will say? Because I do try and be, at least he's positive. He does try and get the ball and go forward. But
the thing is, though, you're not going to judge him after two games, but it looks like everybody else is getting judged after two games. And I think I'm still right.
Because you've got players in there who've been there for years and who's still doing the same shit, so that's why I'm not going to judge Fred after two games.
People on the pitch today.
Do you know what today though? He looked like a player that was new to English football, because he wanted about 10 minutes on the ball every time he got it. So, well, exactly, yeah. So he's got to learn.
Some better players around him, maybe he'd bed in a little better.
He's got to learn quick that he can't. The penalty, I think it was. He lost it for the penalty, and that kind of summed it up. He thought he had about 15 minutes on.
And Fred and Brian.
Yeah. But no, he thought he had about 15 minutes.
Who was it that once said, like, they wanted the Welsh League and the Scottish third or fourth division to merge, so, or have a joint cup competition so Keith could play Barry in a game of football?
I think it was Danny.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Danny Baker.
Danny Baker.
Right, who you blaming?
A trickling down process from Glazers to Woodward to Mourinho to players. I'll have to get them.
Who are you blaming?
Mourinho.
I'm blaming Thatcher. Drew?
God.
Thatcher's dead. You can't blame her for today's performance.
Left a legacy.
True enough, yeah.
Then I'm blaming Vladimir Klitschko.
Right, what does he do to sort it then? Come on.
I think
he's got Tottenham coming up. Is it Tottenham next or Burnley next?
It's Tottenham next week, and to be fair, in the last week I think he's been far more positive than he's become the manager I thought we were going to get 2 years ago. I think his interviews, the way he's talked about City and the documentary and everything else, I think he's been brilliant. That's why today was such a disappointment.
Would you rather he'd like not said a word on the documentary and beat Brighton?
Well, that's what I thought we were teeing up for. Yeah, I know what you mean, but yeah, he's
going in a game. I thought we'll fucking smash these.
The two games so far this season have just been last season. That's what it's been. Shit, play shit and win. Play someone shit and lose. It's just exactly the same as last season.
The thing is, we were outplayed for most of the game last week against Leicester, but because it was Friday, the World Cup. But usual suspect. I mean, again, Lukaku, 0-0. Because at first game, you know, yeah, first game, you, United Brighton, first goal was always going to score it. He goes clean through, he's got an easy chance, 0-0. He scores that.
That was woeful, wasn't it?
Yeah, United win the game. If United were 4-0 up, he probably puts that in the corner, but that's kind of Lukaku's career. When you want to put a gloss on a result, he'll get a goal. When you really need him, he goes
missing. He's been banging on all about he needs centre-halves, yeah? Two centre-halves that started today, he fucking signed.
Yeah, well, by Lindelof's just woeful, full stop. He's shy. There's no getting away from him. Baye is a decent defender. He's just positionally awful, and he's got a mistake in him every game.
So, how does that make him a decent fucking defender then?
I know, yeah, that's why he's decent. Exactly. But still, for the past 8 years, our best defender at the club has been Phil Jones, and it still remains him. And his best partner's Chris Smalling, it still remains. So the problem is that Smalling and Jones are still our best partnership. And despite all the defenders that have come in under Van Gaal, well said, Andy. All the defenders that have come in under Van Gaal and Mourinho, we still, Ferguson's two defenders that he bought initially to replace Ferdinand and Vidic are still our best options. That's a lot of the problem.
That's pretty bad, though, isn't it? When
do you reckon the manager's going to ride this out?
No, he'll be gone by Tuesday.
Not even Chris.
You said it was Pogba's last game today as well.
Probably is.
You reckon?
Might be Mourinho's as well.
Pogba does look like
he's just interested, is he? Not interested.
By November we'll be 10th and he'll
go. I said that. Yeah,
if I was a betting man, that's what I put on. By November we'll be 10th, a million miles off place and he'll go.
I think he'll get relegated and go to the Championship and drink a lot.
I'm struggling to see the downside here, to be fair with you.
I just think the club's a shambles when talked about them, to be honest. It just reeks of no one's got a fucking clue what they're doing. So I just don't know where we go, but enjoy it.
There's no trust.
All the time.
One plus point, you can apply for away tickets on the app instead of fucking about with that shit website.
Can't, don't let me log in.
Does it not?
No.
So even that plus point's gone.
Welcome to the podcast sponsored by the IT Crowd.
I was going to say it's very refreshing hearing people going on about the club being a shambles, and it's people who've been drinking since 8 o'clock this morning. people who've just fucking shoplifted a load of fucking stuff from the fucking services,
and you were spotted,
and I wasn't, I paid for my goods. Anyway, right. I didn't buy them. No. I'll show you what I've got in a minute. Last thing to wrap this up, this absolute mess up. I told him it was a bad idea. What does he do? He's got to get a win against Tottenham now, hasn't he?
That's fucking going to be tough, to be fair, I think. Tottenham are going to go into town. A bit like when Ferguson used to play and just come in and go, lads, it's Tottenham. Pochettino will just come in and go, lads, it's United. And we'll get twatted 4-0.
There you go. And on that bombshell.
We generally win at Old Trafford, don't we?
Oh, bullshit. Anyway, that's it. Everybody's in the mood. It's 10:30 at night. We're off now. So there you go. Cheers for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the latest United We Stand podcast brought to you by Red Army Bet. We offer the best available odds on a United win, as well as a host of special bets created by Red. With half our net profits being donated to United supporters groups, Red Army Bet is about fans, by fans, for fans. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app. Red Army Bet, we all follow United.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.